Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Geek Valley Social Club. Today, we got two special guests. First guest is NASCarl. NASCarl, say hi.
Hi.
Second guest is Abraham, a.k.a. Honest Abe. Abe, say hi.
How's it going, y'all?
Okay, so today, I want to talk about Downtown Disney and our recent trip. All three of us went to Downtown Disney recently. But before we get into that, I have to ask all my guests, who is your favorite superhero and why? So, NASCarl, you go first. Who's your favorite superhero and why?
Well, my favorite superhero that I just started getting into Marvel, but not really a big Marvel fan. But
what'd you say?
Well, that's it.
Show's over.
I think I have to go with Star-Lord because I really love his personality and then, like, how he plays the music and his personality. So Star-Lord would have to be one of my favorite superhero. Superhero, yes.
All right, I like that. Abe, who's your favorite superhero and why?
I gotta go with Captain America. Watching the first Avengers, Captain America, first Avenger, just showing how he fights for others and especially fights for those that can't fight for themselves. He definitely puts, you know, his honor first and, you know, helping those that are in need of help and basically fighting for the weak. And yeah, Captain America, he fights for what's right as well. So that's honestly why I love the guy.
All right. I like that. So now, just for the audience at home or whoever's listening, Abe, you've seen all the Marvel movies, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now, which one is your favorite one? Do you have a favorite one?
I gotta go with Captain America Civil War.
Okay, that's a good one.
And because I choose that one, because Captain America, like I said, he's fighting for what's right. He knows what Bucky did, but he also knows that he was brainwashed. He knows he had no control. He knows he wasn't able to, you know, do anything about it. And come to find out, there was 5 other super evil soldiers that were brainwashed and were under control of Hydra, and that he basically had to fight one of his other best friends, Tony Stark, and Team Iron Man in order to get to where the other 5 super soldiers were at in order to basically save, you know, another part of the world, because basically the 5 super soldiers that were frozen in time that was going to be released. Basically, he had to fight through, you know, other Avengers in order to get to them to save basically good parts of the world.
All right, nice. Now, NASCarl, even though I know the answer to this, I'm going to ask you: have you seen all the Marvel movies?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, out of the ones you've seen, which one is your favorite?
Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
The first Guardians. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you, Carl. Have you which Marvel movies have you seen?
I don't probably know the answer to this one, but honestly, I just seen Guardians of the Galaxy, and the other one was Spider-Man. Was it the first one they made?
Like back in 2000?
Yes.
Okay. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, because there's a lot of talk. Abraham knows this too. We've been keeping on top of this, but there's a lot of talk that they're going to bring back that Tobey Maguire Spider-Man into the new Spider-Man. Like there's some big stuff going on right now with Spider-Man. So, but yeah, so Carl, just for the people listening at home, you haven't seen Endgame or Captain America or, like Civil War, any of those movies, right?
No, I have not.
You have not, but you do have Disney Plus, correct?
Correct.
All right, so that means we're going to watch those movies on Disney Plus.
Yes.
All right.
thank
you, Carl, for confirming that. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so all three of us recently have gone to Downtown Disney. Unfortunately, Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure are closed currently due to COVID-19. And we all love, can we agree that we all love Disneyland?
Yes.
Is that safe to say?
Yep.
All right.
I agree.
Okay, so before we get into the trip, let's talk about Disneyland real quick. what is your fondest memory of Disneyland? Like, when did this love start for Disneyland and California Adventure? Carl, go. You go first.
Well, when I was first going out, not my wife this time, but when I first met my wife, our first trip was to Disneyland. So there was always this this connection. Like, when I took her over there, it was special. I don't know how to describe it, but it was special because it was our first trip. It was, you know, and that's when we got to know each other more and everything. That was probably my first love for Disneyland. From there, we just love keep going back. And then we went with a couple of friends, and that makes it more fun. So I think it has to do, like, when I first met my wife, that was our first trip to Disneyland, and it means so much for us right now.
Oh man, that's awesome. See, that's great. So it holds a special place in your heart, and those are your fond memories, and that's awesome, man. I like that. Now, Abe, what is your fondest memory? Like, when did you fall in love with Disneyland?
It was a while back when I went, and just seeing how every staff member, every team member over there at Disneyland makes sure you have the best time whenever you're there. You know, the characters, they interact with you in a surprising way that you don't think they're going to interact, which is basically, like, you know, like, either teasing you, you know, or messing around with you or playing jokes on you. And then just seeing the smiles on people's faces, especially the kids, you know, like, the kids, it's literally called the happiest place on earth, because that's just literally what it is. And basically, they just make you feel at home. You know, when you're there, you're a big fan like us three, basically you forget about all your worries. You're in a whole new world when you enter through those gates. Even when you enter on the property, when you step on the sidewalk, basically. And that's just, you know, what I love. You know, I love good vibes. I love happiness. I love, you know, positive, optimistic, you know, just people smiling, having a good time. And that's what made me, you know, fall in love with it.
Right on. That's awesome. See, anyone who's listening right now, if you haven't heard the Disney Doesn't Want Me podcast that I recorded, you know, go back and listen to that, because my first Disney experience wasn't the greatest Disney experience, but I'll tell you when I fell in love with it. For me, honestly, it was the Marvel run that I did, and I didn't even get to like, I mean, I was in the park, but it was that experience of, like, going through the park that made me like, wow, this place is awesome. Because again, like we said, they, you know, they acquired Star Wars, Marvel, like they entered my world. So I did this, like, you know, this fun run, this marathon through the park, and I was like, wow, this place actually is dope. I need to give this place another try. So, and then going with NASCAR, like you're right, it, you know, you go with the right people, you have the right experience, and that's when I was like, man, this place is dope, this place is amazing. And just like you said, Abe, like, there's this, like, whole vibe there where it's like, how can you not be in a good mood? Because it's just like everyone's happy around you, and like they really make it special for you. So that's when I, you know, fell in love with it. But let's talk about the during quarantine. So Disney's still closed. We have no idea as of this recording. We have no idea when they're going to open up. There's rumors that it was going to be the end of 2020. Now there's talk that it might be mid 2021. Like, who knows? But let's talk about our visit and our experience to Downtown Disney, which is currently open. Actually, let's even talk about before that. Let's talk about, because we kind of commented on this. So Disneyland is a huge tourist attraction. And every time we go, there are people everywhere, like outside the park, in the surrounding hotels, and this and that. And I remember we commented that it was weird that it was eerie, because when we were walking up to the park, there's nobody around. Like, were you guys, I mean, that's what we were expecting, but how did you feel just like that whole environment? It was, I mean, for me, it was weird, because, you know, I definitely haven't gone as much as you guys, I don't think. But for me, I was like, wow, this is weird that there's no one around here. Like Carl, you go first. Like, what did you think of all that? Like, how did that make you feel?
I mean, I agree with you 100%. Like, it did feel weird. Like, because every time you go to Disneyland, there's traffic, a lot of people are on the streets. It's just, and then when you see, like, it's empty and there's hardly any traffic, anybody there, it's just kind of like, man, it does feel weird. Like, it's not what, you know, what I have to know over the past year. So then now COVID hit, and it's just kind of how life changes now. So.
Yeah, yeah. Abe, what did you think? Like, how did that, like, I mean, what was going through your head with that whole, with nobody there?
It definitely was something new. It felt like, you know, the whole city was evacuating pretty much, and right? Everyone yeah. no longer existed.
Yeah.
It felt definitely. Like, you know, we were going to a location trying to survive, not being eaten or seen by zombies, and trying to get to our safe zone.
It was definitely post-apocalyptic, that's for sure. That is definitely for sure. Like, I remember we made the comment, like, wow, especially since, again, like, I mean, we've all kind of, like, within the last year have gone to Disneyland. And, I mean, so we have something to compare it to recently because, again, normally there are people everywhere. And even, like, some of the shops right across from the entrance of Disneyland, like, were shut down, were closed. Like, it is very, like, you knew things were different. But also, let's talk about, again, I don't know, I wasn't sure what to expect. I know we had seen some YouTubers talk about, like, the checkpoints and getting into Disneyland. But honestly, I was surprised and impressed at how strict it was to even get into the park. Like the first checkpoint was, we walked up. So we walk up, and Carl and Abraham have standard masks on. They have like more traditional like face coverings. I was wearing a neck gaiter, and instantly the cast member told me, like, you know, unfortunately we cannot accept that. We can't accept bandanas, we can't accept neck gaiters, no masks with vents on them. So right off the gate, first walking up to even get into downtown Disney District, they were like, you know, you had one group, boom, you know. So luckily I did have another mask and stuff. And also, right there was a vending machine. Did you guys see the vending machine with the masks, right?
Yes, I see that.
Do you remember how much they were? Because I didn't even look at how much they were. Like, do you remember?
No, I don't remember. I just like saw like, oh, mask, and I just kept walking.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go to Downtown Disney, like, and you don't have a mask, like, there is a vending machine right there, right at the first checkpoint. I'm calling them checkpoints, but they're cast members standing there. I guess checkpoints is fine. But I have no idea how much the masks were, but there was a vending machine. So like I said, but again, just a pro tip for anybody who's going to Downtown Disney, you cannot wear a neck gaiter. You cannot wear a bandana. I think like you can't even wear a face shield unless it's a face shield with the mask. So that was...
I think it was supposed to be like a two-layer, right, mask?
Yeah, like it's just anything more traditional, like the non-medical mask or just, you know, the cloth mask. But like I said, they want it nice and tight around the neck and the chin. So like I said, FYI to anybody, like, you know, make sure you have a more traditional looking like face covering. So that was the first one. Boom. Okay, cool. Put on my new mask. And, you know, every 6 feet they have those lines, those tape lines, you know. And actually, I mean, it's not just a piece of tape. Like it was an official, like, you know, it wasn't just like some blue tape or some masking tape. Like, they had legit signs everywhere you went, face covering required, stay 6 feet. So, you know, you go past the first checkpoint and then you walk up, and then what was it? Was it the bags, like the dogs that we had to walk by? Because I remember there were so many like people, like cast members standing like every so often, like, and I was just like, everybody like, told you like, hey guys, what was
it?
What's the second?
Just take our backpacks off and lower them.
Yes,
so
yes.
Reach up the dog, so the dog is able to sniff your backpack in order to see if you're taking anything in that you're not supposed to.
So we had to take our. So all three of us were wearing backpacks, and the next checkpoint was like, hey, pull your backpack off and like carry it like a suitcase, hold it down, and then you're gonna walk by the canine unit, which was an official, like, you know, like I said, these were like actual police and canine units, and they made us walk side by side, shoulder to shoulder, all the three of us. So they keep you in your group that you're in, but like I said, there was three of us, and they told us walk side by side, like walk shoulder to shoulder. You don't have to stop, you just need to walk by the dogs. And, you know, like I said, I mean, unless we're told to stop. But so then boom, so that's the second checkpoint. And then the third checkpoint is walking past this dog, all right, cool. And then you get into the more traditional, like normal checkpoint that you would normal go through to get into like Disneyland and California Adventure, where it's like, you know, you unzip all your bag, you know, your backpack, and then you walk through the metal detector and whatnot. But I was pretty like surprised and impressed at like how strict they were as far as like, you know, safety and like protocols with like, you know, so, you know, and that's what I was thinking about. That I was like, okay, you can have all these rules set in place, but the people have to follow them, and the people who don't follow them, is there going to be anybody to tell them to follow the rules? Like, is there anybody on top of it? And I mean, we saw firsthand, like, yes, the Disney cast members are on top of it. Like, I mean, they, you know, almost the first day everywhere we went to eat, they told us, like, if you're not going to eat here, you got to stay off to the side, go off to the side, put your mask down or whatever, but off to the side. Like, you can't, you know, you can't walk and eat, you can't walk and drink, you can't drink or eat in any of the lines you're in. But like I said, I was pretty impressed at like how on top of everything they were. Several times, actually, they like each of us, I think, was spoken to before about certain rules. Like with Carl, you took a sip of water when you were standing in line and somebody told you something, yeah?
Yeah, they told me, like, I cannot have my mask down. Not usually drink of water, I have to be on a certain, it's like a designated area.
Yeah.
To do that, so like, okay, so I just complied.
Yeah, and then Abraham, we were just sitting down off to the side, and because we didn't have a drink or food in our hand, you had your mask off, and they told you something, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And me, I was standing on the line to get into one of the stores, and they were like, "Can you stand behind the line, not on top of the line?" So again, they are very on top of like, these are the rules, guys. Like this is like, you need to like maintain social distancing, you need to like, you know, wear the proper mask, like, you know, you can eat in this area, but you have to be actively eating, and the signs actually say that, actively eating, like you can't, like you have, like you can't just be sitting there like with the mask off, you need to be, because
yeah,
they'll come up to you.
The queen guards, basically.
Yeah and here's the thing, like I'm saying, like, oh, they're on top of it, but they, I mean, again, everybody was nice. Everybody was pretty much like, you know, the cast members are nice. They are, you know, but again, they are on top of like these rules and stuff. And it gave me hope. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So even if people are not following the rules, they have somebody that's going to make you comply. They're going to have people that are there to, you know, and I did notice, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I mentioned it. I was surprised because, again, like obviously Downtown Disney, there weren't a whole lot of people there. We did go during the week because we did want to avoid the weekend because, of course, that would have been packed. But there weren't a whole lot of people there. There was a group. There was a good amount of people. But there was, like, for every 2 to 3 guests, there was probably one cast member walking around, like, whether it was the people that were, like, standing in the lines, like, regulating, or the maintenance crew walking around, but there also was a lot of executive style cast members walking around, like business casual cast members with like Disney badges, which again, like that, like I said, there was a lot of people to enforce these rules. So, I mean, did you guys notice all that too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's getting into the park and like the as far as Downtown Disney. So I mean, obviously the park's closed. Another thing I thought was kind of weird, and I don't know why. Like, I don't know what your guys' opinion on this, but I mentioned this. So that so when you first walk in and you either go to the right or the left to go to Disneyland or to California Adventure, so where the gates are to enter those specific parks, the California Adventure side, you can walk right up to the gates. That, you know, but on the Disneyland side, they had roped off before the gates, like a significant area before the gates. Now, why do you, in your guys' opinion, why do you think that is? Do you think there's a reason for that? Or, like, why can I walk up to the gates on California, but I can't walk up to the gates on the Disneyland side? Like, Carl, what do you think? Like, do you think there's a reason for it?
There is a reason for it. I just think that more people, have more attraction to Disneyland than California Adventure. I guess because there would be a lot more people trying to get up to the fence and try to
jump it? You think they want to jump the fence?
They might probably want to jump the fence, yeah. That could be one, but that's just my guess. So,
Abe, what do you think? Do you think there's a reason for it? Or do you think that was just, you know?
I gotta go with Carl said about went first. I think they're going to use the strategy of working in one park, opening one park at a time. And they're probably, once they get the go, you know, to go ahead and start working, open up the gates, they're probably going to maybe work with Disneyland first and see how that goes. So there's probably cast members going in and out. So they don't want, you know, guests getting close to the gates when they have to open them for the cast members. They want them securely closed off and pretty much away from any non-employees that work at Disneyland.
Gotcha. Now, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like I said, I think there was a reason for it for sure. Yeah, whether it's people, you know, stopping people from just like, I gotta take it, I gotta get in, jumping the fence. But also, yeah. I think you're right too. Like, they don't want people that close because, again, like some of these YouTubers and all that, like everyone wants any little bit of like, what's going on in there? Like, what is happening in there? Like, what is this? Like, are they working on some new stuff? Are they, you know, just, you know, mainly privacy and they just like, you know, keep your distance or whatever. But yeah, I think, you know, yeah, there's definitely a reason for it. I'm just curious. And hopefully, again, this is, I mean, since the parks opened, I mean, I think we talked about it like 9/11 happened and the park was closed for 2 days, but this is the first time since the parks have opened that they've actually been shut down, correct? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully they're taking this time to when they do reopen, you know, like hopefully everything looks brand new again. Like they just repainted everything. They're taking this time to like, you know, like Marvel Avengers Academy. Like hopefully that, you know, I think construction has continued on that. But any maintenance that needed to be done, I mean, now's the time to do it, right? Like this is when you want to, like, you know, just take advantage of not having guests right now and just getting ready for the grand reopening and whatnot. So, Downtown Disney, pretty much shopping and eating, correct?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Now, I had just ended a 3-month keto diet, so I was ready to rock. I was ready for all the food. I was. And again, you know, one thing, listeners, you need to know about me, I'm huge on Disneyland churros. I'm huge on churros, period. But for some reason, the best churros I've ever eaten have been at Disneyland. Now, I don't know if it's the environment or the fact that they're like 10 feet long or what, but like, I love Disneyland churros. So I was stoked about that. But also it was the environment. But what about you guys? Was there anything specific, like, were you just wanting the experience, or did you want to eat? Because I was there for churros, honestly. I wanted churros. But what about you guys? What is it that you really wanted to do down there, or did you just want to be down there? Go ahead, Carl.
I just wanted to be down there, you know, because, you know, I love Disneyland so much, and anything, I just wanted to be just a little bit busy going on, if that makes sense. The churros, the shopping, everything, you know, it's just great experience still. I still had a lot of fun with Abraham and Marty.
And Abe, what about you? Like, what was it? Was there anything specific you wanted, or you just were happy to be there?
Yeah, pretty much everything. I was happy to be there. I wanted to be there. I wanted to try the foods again, especially the churros when they said they reopened them back in August. And especially Jazz Kitchen. I've been getting a lot of recommendations from my friends that told me to try that place out when we ended up going there. And we were, able to go there. And we fulfilled, I think we pretty much checked off the list everything we wanted to do as well.
Yeah. So Jazz Kitchen, let's talk about that real quick. That was my first time. I'd never been there. I think, Carl, you're the only one who's actually eaten there before, correct?
Yeah, that would have been my second time.
Okay, second time. So Jazz Kitchen. So anyone who goes Downtown Disney, check out the Jazz Kitchen, because that place was bomb. I had the chicken po' boy BLT. Carl, what did you have?
I had the barbecue shrimp and grits.
Abraham, what did you have?
I forgot the name of it, but it was shrimp pasta, basically. The only shrimp pasta they have right now on the menu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another thing, too, the menu. Like, Carl, I think was you or was it Abe that said that the menu used to be bigger?
Yeah, I think I said that. I said it because I remember seeing a lot more, and that's when I asked the waiter, like, and then I guess he was saying because the only down to 50 until they get up to 50% capacity, then they're going to bring some items back to the restaurant.
That's right. That's right. Because they only had so many chefs in the kitchen, right? So even behind the scenes, they're regulating how many people can be like out there. Because we ate outside. I didn't notice if anybody was eating inside, but we were seated outside. I think anybody who came in after us was seated outside. So, but yeah, even the our waiter, like, he said that even behind the scenes, like in the building, there are limited cast members working. So with limited chefs, they have a limited menu. But what we had was amazing. Oh, and then what did we get for the sides? We got the tots, right? The tater tots.
Oh, yeah, the tater tots.
Oh, man, that sriracha sauce they had dipped. Oh, man, that was so good. Dang it. Yeah. I'm there again. I did take... Oh, actually, we do have pictures of the food, and we'll post them on the Geek Valley Social Club Instagram. So you can see, like, the food that we actually got to eat. But my po' boy sandwich was amazing. That thing was banging. Like, your guys' food was great, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, I would definitely get that again. That was actually pretty cool. Now I don't drink, so, but Abraham and Carl actually did have a drink. So what you guys had a hurricane?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay, yeah. So the fact that Disneyland even offered a hurricane, I was actually pretty surprised when the guy actually mentioned that. But how were the, for anyone who wants a cocktail at Jazz Kitchen in downtown Disney, would you recommend the Hurricane?
Most definitely, yes.
Well, yeah, we know you would, Carl, because I would tell you guys right now.
Right now.
When I looked at Abraham and he was halfway done with his drink, I just happened to glance over at Carl's drink and it was gone. I have no idea how long it'd been gone. No, that's awesome. So you would recommend the hurricane. And also, you guys had a quote unquote shot of tequila, but I even though I don't drink, I know what a shot looks like. And Abraham called it out. He goes, "This is not a shot." They served it in like this huge glass. I was like, "What? Oh my god!" So you definitely got your money's worth. So their shots are like, I don't know. Would you say that was like two shots?
Yeah,
Carl definitely, he drank his in a blink of an eye, and my cup barely touched the liquor. I was going to start.
Oh, man, we were definitely on vacation, but yeah, no, it was the food. So Jazz Kitchen, a definite, like, anyone who hasn't been there, highly recommend it, check it out, and like I said, I can't wait to even look at their full menu. So, I mean, if that was just like half of their menu, I mean, that was really good. But so next, even before Jessica, where we got Tortilla Joe's?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
So Tortilla Joe's, obviously from the sound of it, Mexican food. I had the shredded chicken burrito. Carl, what did you get?
I had the steak fajitas.
Steak fajitas. Abe, what'd you have?
I also had a burrito. It was beef burrito.
Now, first of all, the shredded chicken was amazing. It was great. And then they used, and I'm a big fan of refried beans, so they put refried beans inside their burritos. But that was good. And the rice. They had some legit Mexican rice with the peas, you know, so it's even extra authentic, I feel. But yeah, no, that was a delicious burrito, and it was good size too, and the sour cream on it, like, there was a lot of sour cream. I actually got french fries with it because I was on vacation, and why not? Because on keto you can't have potatoes, so I miss potatoes. Those fries were really good. but everyone's food looked good. Carl, your fajitas, how were they?
They were great. The meat was not overcooked. It was perfect. The vegetables, the rice was great. Everything was perfect.
Abe, your burrito, your shredded beef. Was it shredded beef or it was just beef? What was it?
I would say it was shredded beef. And it was actually if I'm correct, it was a wet burrito that we got because of the sauce they added on top. And that was, I want to say, my third time overall having one of those wet burritos. And that's by far my favorite wet, like, burrito I ever had, basically. And
oh, nice.
It was, yeah, the rice, everything, the ingredients, And, you know, me and Carl had a beer, which made it so much better.
Oh, that's right. You guys did have a beer. Dang, yeah, okay. I forgot you guys had a beer there, too. So, but, yeah, these guys, can't take them anywhere. Wait, did we even bought beer to go back to the room, too, right?
Yeah, we did.
Everyone's on vacation. There's nothing wrong with that. We're on vacation. So those are, okay, so that's in Disney. Then we had, outside of Disney, there's a, is it right outside of Disney? Or is it a little ways down that little shopping center with the pizza spot? Was that, that was a little ways down, right? Do you remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little hop, skip, and a jump, like walking to the park. But we actually had some really good, oh God, I can't remember the name of the place. Do you remember the name of the pizza place?
I want to say California Pizza or... Yeah. Something California.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah. It's don't be confused. It's not just anyone listening at home. It's not California Pizza Kitchen. It's definitely not that. It seemed like a mom and pop, like a, you know, pizza spot, but they've been there forever. So anyone who knows, like, you know, yeah, message me what the name was. But it was actually really good pizza. Like, we had a pepperoni and sausage, right? Didn't we have some pepperoni and sausage slices?
Yeah, we did.
And that pizza was bomb. Again, so take what I'm saying as far as the food goes with a grain of salt, because I was on a diet where you couldn't have anything. So, but, you know, Carl and Abraham, like, they can attest that that pizza was actually pretty good, correct?
Yeah, that's really good. That's correct.
Yeah, it was bomb. But also, let's talk about the desserts. Let's talk about the churros. Oh my God. The tears. I'm crying. So Disney, and this is where, okay, so from what I remember, okay, and I don't know what, and unless I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the park, they only have the regular churro stands, correct? Like you can't get the flavored churros unless you're in downtown Disney, correct? Like, cause I remember all the churro stands in the actual park were strictly just a basic churro.
I wouldn't say yes, I'm not too sure about that, cause I'm
going to
go with yes on that one.
Yeah. Except what's the Cars Land, the cones, the cozy cones? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that food place, the cozy cone food place, like how each cone is a different, like one's for pizza, one's for ice cream and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They have different churros, right? Because that's where I got the Oogie Boogie churro last Halloween. But yeah. Other than that, the little actual carts in the park, I want to say only offer... just a plain basic churro, which is nothing wrong with that, but I wish they offered all the flavored ones, because those are super bomb. Like, I had, well, me and Carl, we both had the salted caramel churro, which was amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
Abraham, you had a churro, correct?
Yeah, I think it was the salted caramel.
Okay, so you had it too. Yeah, so talk to me, what do you think?
Yeah,
would you get it again?
You have the thinness that I remember, and then Carl had the churro ice cream sandwich.
Yes, the churro ice cream sandwich. Yes. With, what was it? Vanilla bean.
Yeah, it was vanilla bean.
Vanilla bean. Yeah.
So. And you have to make it yourself, too.
Now, I wonder if that is a COVID thing, or do you think that's just how it is? You think it's a COVID? So basically, they gave Carl... It's basically a churro swirl, like a churro sandwich, basically. A churro ice cream sandwich is what it was. But when Carl got it, he had to literally put it together himself. So they gave him both churro buns and then a thing of ice cream. So he literally had to be the one to, like, okay, I'm going to put the ice cream in the churro, and there you go. So, I've never had that before. So, I mean, obviously, you're thinking that it's a COVID thing, that's why, like, they don't... The less somebody handles your food, the, you know, which again makes sense.
The way it looked, basically they give Carl a spoon. I know to scoop it on the churro platform of, like, the bun, whatever, the churro bun. But maybe some people just like to eat the ice cream and then take a bite of the churro, churro bun, and then just kind of mix it as they eat it. But some, probably like to do basically make a straight sandwich out of it.
Yeah, that was... And Carl, it was amazing?
It was amazing.
I mean, can't go wrong. So we tried, between the three of us, we tried the salted caramel churro, I had an apple pie churro, and then I had the thin mint churro. Now, here's the thing. The apple pie and the salted caramel churro looked more traditional, where it's like they hand you this long stick of, you know, amazingness. But the thin mint churro apparently is a what they call a gourmet churro. which was a dollar more, but that's fine. And basically they served it to me in a little container, and I have a picture of it. I'll put a picture up on the Geek Valley Social Club Instagram page, but it's a little container, and basically they took a churro, cut it in half, put it in the container, dusted it, which I'm assuming is chocolate, it looked like it was chocolate, it didn't look like cinnamon, and then they drizzled it with like a mint and chocolate drizzle, and it was just, it straight up, guys, it tasted like a thin mint cookie, like a Girl Scout thin mint cookie or anything thin mint. It was pretty amazing. And the apple pie churro came with a little thing of, well, I don't even know what that cream was. Do you remember what that cream was? I know, Abraham, you tried it, right? The little cream dip they gave me?
Yeah, I...
No idea what that was, but it was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was definitely good.
It was definitely good. Now, so, on top of the churros, we went to, what was the confectionery store? Was it Marceline's? What's the name of the candy shop?
I think Marceline. You're right.
Marceline's Confectionery, whatever, and that's where they have the ridiculous candy apples and Rice Krispie treats and just all kinds of goodness in there. And so that was one of the few stores that you had to do an online queue, which basically you walk up to the line and you give a cast member your phone number, and then they basically call you or text you when it's time to come into the line. So to prevent too many people from lining up, they just basically do an online queue. So again, on top of the COVID, being cautious and whatnot, that's another thing that they have in place there where, like I said, to prevent a whole lot of people from lining up, it's social distancing and all that. And I think it's when they text you to jump in line, you have within 2 hours to respond. So once you get that text, you have 2 hours to jump in the line. You just check with another cast member and then they line you up. But we didn't have to wait too long. Again, we went in the middle of the week. There weren't a whole lot of people there. I don't know if Downtown Disney is also working at 25 to 30% capacity as far as people in there. But like I said, we didn't have to wait too long. But that's definitely one of the shops that requires a online queue type situation. But I had, I got from in there the churro caramel toffee, which was amazing. I shared it with my roommates and they absolutely loved it. Carl, what did you get? Did you get some from in there?
Was it the chocolate covered marshmallows with caramel?
Oh, yes. How was that?
It was good. Very sweet.
Yeah, everything in there is sweet. And
very sweet.
Abraham went big. Abraham went big. Abraham got the Hades? What was it? The Hades?
Yeah, the Hercules Hades theme candy apple. Yeah. Caramel apple.
Yes. And that thing looked crazy. We have pictures of it. We'll put it on the Geek Out Social Club Instagram. But, man, how was that?
It was good. You know, definitely... You could taste every layer that they added on top, and it was my first caramel apple of 2020, I'll tell you that, so it definitely, I'm glad I went with that decision.
So is the best caramel apple you had this year?
Yeah, I want to say overall. Basically.
Oh, dang, really? Yeah, so, I mean, they offer, and again, like I said, it's Halloween time, it's, you know, Disneyland, you know, is full of, like, that Halloween... That theme is really everywhere, the signage and stuff. Like, we went into World of Disney a couple times, and they have a bunch of, like, cool Halloween ears, Nightmare Before Christmas stuff. So they have a bunch of merch dedicated to Halloween. So, I mean, I kind of want to go back during, like, Christmas, because I want to see what they offer for Christmas, even if it is just Downtown Disney, because, like, you still get that vibe of, like, the season. You know, they really immersed you in that season. Also, it's cool because the music, like I said, you forget, it's a little bittersweet because they have the music playing for the theme songs of the rides and, you know, like some of their cartoons and whatnot and their movies, but you forget that, like, dang, like, you know, dang, the park is closed, and you feel like it's, like, you just want to, like, oh, man, let's go to California Adventure right now after we eat. But it's like, it's like, you know, like I said, it's that vibe of, you know, because, again, everyone around you is wearing the ears. They have their, you know, we all had, like, Mickey gear on or this and that. Like, it's not, I didn't, you don't feel like you're just there shopping and eating. You still kind of feel like you're, you know where you're at. You know you're at Disneyland. You know that vibe is still kind of there. And like I said, it's bittersweet because everyone there is like feeling the same way. Like, man, I wish this park was open, because you still had that feeling of like, you know, oh man, I think, can we just walk in? But it's like, no, you can't. But it's like, no, it's closed. It's closed. But like I said, but yeah, no, and again, like I said, just shopping and eating was really, you know, also one thing we definitely wanted to do, which I didn't know they were doing this. It was a surprise to me, but how long has it been? A couple weeks? But the Chadwick Boseman mural was unveiled a few weeks back. So we actually got to see that up close and personal, and that thing is gorgeous. Like, that thing was, you know, it was big. It was beautiful. Like, we got pictures with it. It was great. Like, it was a bit emotional because, like I said, that shocked everybody. I mean, how did you guys hear about his passing? Go ahead, Carl.
I think it was mostly through my coworkers at work. They were like shocked that he passed away. They're like, you know, that's how I found out.
Abraham, how did you, like, you know?
Through my friends and my buddies in our group chat, they were just, it was going off and off, but I was just ignoring it. I thought they were talking about something else, and then when I finally took some time to look at it, they were posting a lot of Chadwick Boseman photos, and then it didn't click to me right away until I finally read something, and then I literally stopped what I was doing and just was in complete shock and sadness.
Yeah, I was... I was washing my car. It was, you know, the sun had already kind of gone down. I was washing my car and, you know, my roommate comes out and he's like, dude. And I was like, what? And he's like, Chadwick Boseman just passed. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, man, the Black Panther's gone. I'm like, whoa. Like, it was crazy. And then the fact that it's like, the guy, you know, of course, all the information comes out. Like, dude had been battling cancer for like 4 years. And again, it's just one of those things where you didn't see coming. Like, it's not like we were prepared for this. It was just, wow. Like, dude, we lost an amazing actor. And then, like I said, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, we lost, you know, somebody. So it was very emotional to see that actual tribute. And the fact that Disneyland, Marvel, and the fact that they did that for him was actually pretty awesome. Like, that was pretty cool. Like, you know, like, and again, it's a beautiful piece. So, I mean, if you guys go to Downtown Disney or whenever the park opens and you guys go, you know, like, definitely go check out that mural. Like seriously, I don't know how long they're going to keep it up. But it's definitely worth like checking out and, you know, getting a picture of or getting a picture next to or whatnot. So it's definitely something you guys need to check out. But yeah, no, I can't, you know, it's weird to say, like, I want to go back. Like, I just want to go back again, like, you know, and just hang out there at Downtown Disney. Because again, like I said, it's still the happiest place on earth. You're still kind of in that vibe. And it's just, like I said, it's just a total mood. Like, everyone around you. Like, you feel the love of, like, you know, everyone's into Disney and stuff like that. And, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, how did you guys feel when we left?
I mean, I was, like, you know, like, sad at the same time, you know. It's just, I mean, I had such a great time, you know, with Marty and Abraham, you know. Just the people who you go with and everything. It's just, it was great. It was great getaway. I just got to say that.
Yeah. Abe?
Yeah, same. I appreciated every second, you know, hanging out with you guys, knowing that, you know, we have future plans to go at least once or twice a year if we get the chance. And it was definitely a bittersweet moment. You know, like you said, the cast members made you, you know, feel safe. They made sure you're following the rules. And, you know, even people were asking me, like, why are you going to go? What's there to do at Downtown Disney? I'm like, it's definitely a one-day trip. You know, it's definitely a one-day vacation trip. You know, if you do, they say, don't you get bored? It's like, no, I didn't get bored. There's definitely, you know, you got to plan it out. You got to know what you want to do. You got to know what's there. You got to know what, you got to try something new. And definitely, you know, new merchandise was coming out. So I was looking forward to that. And, you know, as we all bought new merchandise and it, yeah, just gave me hope. You know, it got me more excited for the future. But, you know, safety first, you know, like you've been telling us, Marty. And, you know, when the time comes, you know, if everything's looking good, everything's looking great, then, yeah, I'd say, you know, we, you know, go do a revisit.
Yeah, no, I said earlier, you know, you can have all these rules in place, but as long, you know, it doesn't mean anything if no one's going to be, like, enforcing them, and they're definitely enforcing them, so I feel good about, like, I don't know what kind of visits like they're having as far as like safety protocol checks or whatever, but I mean, from what I've seen just with Downtown Disney, if they're handling it like that, I definitely feel okay with the park opening up at like 25-30% or whatever. Like it gives me hope of like, well, this might actually work. This might actually be okay. You know, like, you definitely, I definitely feel better about it. Cause you know, it's in the back of your head. Like, well, even if they do open up, like, I don't know, like it's still kind of sketchy. But the way they're running things, the way they're making sure everybody is on point with following the rules, I feel good about it. Like it doesn't make me worry so much about other people. Like, you know, cause again, like I said, we know how to follow the rules, but some people, you know, coming from, you know, where states or whatever, where they're a little more lax or whatnot, might not follow the rules. But from what I've seen, Disney is definitely going to make sure that people are complying with what's going on. So I definitely feel good about it. Like, you know, if they opened up right now and I can get in before the year ends, I would totally do it. Unfortunately, like we talked about, we probably, regular schmoes like us who don't have season passes, who don't have, like, you know, once they open, it'll probably be like several months before regular schmoes can get a ticket. But I feel good about the future of Disney for sure.
And I feel safe. I think we all could agree. We did feel that safer to be in Downtown Disney. This is so organized too, as well.
Yes. It was definitely like you said.
I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, but did you see team members walking around just sanitizing the giant umbrella?
Oh yeah. Lots of cleaning. Lots of cleaning.
Yeah, they were sanitizing those. They were cleaning the ropes, you know, the pillars that we were standing in next to our line. They were making sure we sanitized our hands before we go inside the store, and even you know, suggesting that we sanitize our hands even before or after we leave the store. So,
yes, definitely. Stations everywhere. There were hand sanitized stations everywhere. They even had makeshift like sinks around like several places, anywhere, any cement where you could sit down, there was like official markings to like keep people from social distancing. Like, I mean, they're on it, guys. Like Disneyland, or at least Downtown Disney, they're on top of it. They do not want anybody crowding. They do not want, I mean, your party can stay together, but like I said, they were on it. Like you said, like sanitized stations everywhere, cast members constantly cleaning, wiping stuff down. It was, you could see they definitely, that effort is being made to make sure like they're cleaning up everything. So that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing. I think Downtown Disney right now is going to be the perfect place if anyone who's looking for like to, you know, they feel like they just need to get away. Honestly, for me, I would feel like Downtown Disney is safe for anybody who is comfortable going.
Yeah.
I think like Downtown Disney is going to be the perfect place if you just want to get out somewhere and take a day trip or whatever your situation may be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was definitely worth it.
Yeah.
If you're a big Disney fan, you know, if you got some time to kill, if you feel safe enough, if you take care of yourself overall, You're definitely fine going to Downtown Disney. I mean, once you get there, you're a lot safer in Downtown Disney than, you know, outside of it.
Yeah, definitely for sure. So, you know, like I said, it's a bit jarring, I don't want to spoil this, but I mean, like I said, you're used to seeing outside of Disneyland, directly outside of Disneyland, you're used to seeing tourists and crowds and this and that. Unfortunately, before you go into Downtown Disney, you definitely know that things are different. Seeing stores closed, seeing, or not seeing anybody around. Unfortunately, you know, normally you wouldn't see like homeless people. Unfortunately, there are quite a few homeless people now and vagrants around the area where normally you didn't see that. You know, you definitely, before you even get in, you definitely know that things are different. But once you get in that park, you forget all of that. Like, you are back and immersed in Fantasyland, into like the happiest place on earth. Even though you're not actually in the park, you're still immersed in like that whole, because again, they have the music playing, you know you can see the park, you know you can still shop, you have the ears, you can get some of the food. Like, it's just enough. Like, if you can't wait for Disneyland to open, it's just enough of a fix that will tide you over until you can. Like, I definitely think, like, yeah, it's definitely worth a day trip or whatnot, you know, just to walk around, have a churro, give you a reason to wear your ears, you know? All those people who've been itching to, like, put on that Disney gear and rock it, like, you know, that's, like I said, get your fix, you know? There's so much going on right now, and I know people are like, you know, it's a weird time, but like I said, if you want just a little escape, a little Disney-like escape, you know, and you don't want to make the trip to Florida and go to Disney World, like, downtown Disney, like I said, a few hours there, and, you know, it's amazing therapy, I guess, for anyone who needs it, right?
but yeah,
so, well, all right, guys, any last thoughts or comments? Carl, you got a bunch of homework to do.
I know.
I mean, you said you've seen, what, 2 movies? And they have, like, 150, so you got a lot of watching to do.
I will make a promise I'm going to start watching Marvel, so that might be...
Yeah, you don't have to watch them all. Like, you know, I mean, yeah. I want you to watch them all, but you don't have to watch them all. But like I said, the next time we all talk, we're going to talk about, you know, my guests, the people I have on my show, I don't know what it is why they haven't seen all these Marvel movies, okay? You guys need to get on top of this, all right? There will be homework. Well, no, Abe, though. Abe's seen them all. Abe is always sending me reaction videos and stuff like that, like which we talked about that, like again, sorry Carl, spoilers, but in Endgame, when Captain America is fighting Thanos and, you know, he's able to hold Mjolnir, and again, anyone listening, he saw a video. I didn't literally spoil this for him right now. He saw a video beforehand, and then he very. Like, you knew, like, you know when, like, your pet does something wrong? Like, Carl was like, I haven't seen this movie. I was like, oh, my God. Like,
you guys know it's bad when Marty is literally in the bathroom. He overhears Carl. He yells, what?
I was in the bathroom at the hotel, and I can hear the conversation. And just, you know, I was just like, what? I almost ran out the bathroom with my pants down still. That's how, like, I was just like, what is happening right now? Get out. I'm like, get out. But yeah, my first experience, again, like I said, Abe sends me reaction videos of, like, people around the world going crazy in the theater. Like, you know, I mean, my first time seeing Endgame was at a friend's business function. They rented out a theater, and unfortunately, I'd say more than half of the crowd in that theater just went to see a free movie that their company was offering. There weren't a whole lot of, like, actual fans, so I wasn't disappointed. I was glad that I got to see it first, but I didn't have that experience of, like, the theater crowd I was in the first time I saw it wasn't super hyped. They were just kind of like, oh, it's a free movie that a company's offering. You know, it was a tech company, and you know, unfortunately, like I said, more than half the people that went weren't, you know, really up to date on all the Marvel movies. So I didn't have that crowd reaction the first time. You know, I mean, go ahead.
Marty, Infinity War, did you get that vibe? Were you in the right crowd?
Yes, Infinity War is in the right crowd. I was definitely in the right crowd for that one, but. And I think I mentioned this before in maybe one of the previous podcasts, but it's been such a long road for me. This whole phase 1 and 2 and whatnot. When Avengers first hit and the end of that movie, you saw Thanos for the first time. And again, everybody now everyone knows Thanos. Everyone knows the purple guy. You know, you know him. But when Avengers first hit, what was it, 10, like, whatever, how many years ago, when Avengers first hit, and that last extra credit scene, and you see this purple face smile, like, for me, for a comic book, you know, geek like me, I knew exactly who that was. So my excitement for this event was just, it was a long time coming. I've been waiting so long for this, like, because I knew who he was, and I knew what he meant. Like, I knew that, you know, during Endgame, when everybody shows up and it's this huge like Royal Rumble of heroes, I knew from the comics that that was going to happen. Like
you knew it was coming, right?
I knew it. And again, I understand because of, I mean, now, I mean, you know, we're looking at the future of the Marvel movies. You know, I mean, now that Disney and Marvel own everybody again, like, it, you know, they got Spider-Man again, they got the Fantastic Four, they got the mutants, the X-Men, like, and back then they didn't. They had to make do with what they had because there was too many companies that had all their licenses, and I understood that. But even still, I knew they were going to get characters and we were going to have this brawl. So again, like it was, you know, like I said, anyone who was excited for this just off of the movies alone, can you imagine being a comic book geek, knowing already what that meant and having to wait that long? It was emotional. Like, I was like, oh my God, are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? Thanos is literally going to fight everybody. Like, this is insane. Like, there's no way. Like, they can't do it. And so for me, I mean, it was extra, like, it was just painful to wait. Cause, and I remember, like, people looking at me, like, when that scene popped out, like, people looked at me and they were like, yo, who's this guy? Who's that? Like, who's this dude? And I was just like, you have no idea. Like, you're not ready for what's about to happen. So, but I'm glad now. Like, I'm glad we're in a time where, like, everyone kind of knows who Thanos is and whatnot. And, you know, they know the Infinity Stones and whatever. Like, it's cool. And I'm excited now. I mean, the fact that now we're going to have mutants again. Now we're going to have, like, you know, the first family of Marvel, the Fantastic Four. Like, there's the possibilities now for the future of movies in Marvel are, I'm even more excited. You know, like, it's gonna be crazy, man. And again, like, you know, we're talking about Spider-Verse, you know, I mean, can you imagine? And look, everybody's only talking about Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, but I mean, guys, like, they can introduce way more spider people. I mean, look at what they did with Into the Spider-Verse. I mean, again, like being a comic book geek, I've heard of those Spider-Man before. Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Gwen, like, you know, Spider-Man 2099. Can you imagine seeing a live-action version of, like, Miles Morales? Which is rumored that that's what's going to happen. So, I mean, even just with Spider-Man, like, everyone's excited about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, which I am too. But, I mean, can you imagine them introducing other, like, spider people? And there's Spider-Woman, Spider-Girl, Aranya, like, the female spiders alone, there's, like, a bunch of them. So it's an exciting time to be a geek, man, especially someone like me who knows a bit of the history and whatnot. Like, this, the possibilities are endless, and I'm excited for the future of Marvel. Now, before we go, let me ask you guys, since we're talking about this, are there any Marvel characters, actually not even just Marvel, even DC, are there any superheroes that you want to see turned live action that you haven't seen yet? Is there somebody that you know, I mean, I don't know, Carl. I mean, again, I know you guys aren't huge geeks like me or on that level, but I mean, is there anybody you wish you want to see, like any villain, any superhero, like you're like, you know what, they should make a movie on this guy, or I'd like to see a different movie made with this guy? Go ahead, Abe, you go first.
What I've been thinking about lately is Batman Beyond.
Oh,
talking DC.
Terry McGinnis.
You know, I want to see him actually, because I'm just having, you know, just thinking about it, him teaming up with the Teen Titans to go up against Deathstroke, basically, live action. That's something I would, because growing up, Teen Titans was, you know, my show, Batman Beyond, and I think that's what introduced me to DC a lot, and then that's what I got introduced to the Justice League, which came along. You know, they're doing an awesome job with that. You know, they already did Aquaman, which was an awesome movie. You know, they tried to get Wonder Woman Part 2 out there, but unfortunately COVID happened. So, you know, it just makes everyone, you know, more excited. But yeah, definitely Batman Beyond teaming up with the Teen Titans, possibly, and going up against Deathstroke.
Yeah, Batman Beyond would be dope. I didn't watch it beginning to end. I didn't watch that series. I was more of the Batman Animated Adventures, but Batman Beyond was pretty dope. Like, that was cool, that future version of them. Carl, is there any superhero or supervillain you want to see made into a live action that you haven't seen yet?
To be honest, I don't know if I can answer that question.
Carl, I mean, Carl, hang up. Yeah. Hang up, Carl. That's right.
I'm sorry, guys. You know, like, I mean, All right. No, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not.
Okay. For anyone. Okay, guys. I'm gonna be fair to Carl. Okay. I usually try to talk about what everyone's geek is. Now let me tell you something about Carl. Okay. Carl is an aviation geek. Okay.
Oh yeah.
You want to talk about airplanes and flying and whatnot? Carl is your man. Okay. This guy. That's what he geeks out about. Okay. So. Oh, yeah. So Carl is a geek. He's an aviation geek. So Carl definitely he has some geek in him, but it's towards aviation. Now anyone who knows me knows I am not a flyer. Okay, I am. You get me in the air. You get me in the airport, and I'm laying eggs. You know what I'm saying? I'm stressed out. I'm like, you know, freaking out. Let alone in the air. I'm no good to anybody. Like, don't even talk to me, cause I'm just like. I'm finding my power animal and just trying to like get through the flight. Like I'm not okay. I'm the guy you don't want to sit next to in an airplane because you're like, this dude's making me nervous. I'm the guy in the airplane, the only guy in the airplane when they're going through the safety announcements. I'm the only guy staring directly at the flight attendant, taking notes, already knowing that everything they're telling me, all the safety guidelines that they're telling me, as soon as anything happens, I'm forgetting everything and I'm sheer like panicking. So, I mean, I don't even know why I'm listening to them because I know I'm going to forget it once, like.
Well, Marty's the one sitting next to the exit emergency.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the guy that's like, as soon as we take off, I'm already wearing the vest, the safety vest. Like I never take, like, even the seatbelt sign goes, it turns off. I still leave my seatbelt on. I'm like super, like, I can't even breathe. I have it on so tight. Like, I'm just like, nah, I ain't risking it. But I don't know. That's me. But yeah, like I said, in Carl's defense, Carl is getting there. He's into superheroes and this and that. We'll get him there, but Carl's an aviation geek, so it's not really fair to, like.
I just want to
go ahead.
Thing, just to defend myself, I think one of my favorite DC movies is going to be the Joker. That one was actually, I enjoyed a lot.
The Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
The recent one. Oh yeah. What was it about that movie?
I don't know. The Joker. It's the one, like, it talks about like how he got there, like the person who he is, and you know, so. That one got me into it.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what I like. Like, I like with the superhero movies. I mean, you can find the one for you. There's so many versions of Batman. There's other versions of Joker. And I mean, like I said, I mean, just because you don't like this version or that version, like, there's plenty out there that you can be like, oh, you know, I like Michael Keaton's Batman or George Clooney's or whatever, you know. Like I said, there's different rendition, like Ben Affleck or whatever. I'm excited to see Robert Pattinson. I want to see how he does, you know, like.
Yeah, I like this kind of movies. Like, explains how he got to that position, you know. Like, for example, like I liked Rogue One. That was a really good movie. It kind of explains how they got the Death Star plans and all that.
Yeah, dude.
Go ahead, Carl. Oh no, because like me, I probably enjoy more. I like Star Wars a lot, so I could probably say Star Wars geek over here too as well.
Dang. All right. So the next time I have you guys on, we're gonna round table it again. All right. Well, but I do, Carl. I do want you to watch. I want you to watch Endgame and Infinity War. I definitely want, but. I'm sure you'll be able to piece together everything that happens before that, but I mean, by the next time we do this, like, I want you to have watched at least the last two movies, but then we'll all talk about Star Wars. Like, are you cool with that, Abe? Can I have you on again, Abe, to talk about Star Wars?
Yeah, I actually binge watched Star Wars a couple months ago, so
he's binging.
I'm pretty much on top of all that.
He's been, yeah. So we'll wait. I say we round table it. Actually, you know, actually, we're gonna have a watch party for Mandalorian, at least the first episode. We're gonna have the season two. So like I said, we'll circle back in a few weeks to talk about Star Wars and Mandalorian and this and that. I'm not saying, Carl, you have to watch those movies within 2 weeks, because like I said, we can always talk about Star Wars. But yeah. But guys, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for the Disney, the downtown Disney trip. I had a blast. Thank you for being on the show. I will definitely have you guys on again. if you want to be on the show again.
No, thanks for having us. We enjoyed.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you have something to do right now, but I wanted to ask, I forgot to ask you in the beginning, but do you mind sharing your experience with Liz when you had to go to the Long Beach airport?
Oh, you went. Okay, so this is a quick little bonus story for everybody. So leaving Anaheim, Carl and Abraham had to go to what airport? You guys had to go to
Orange County, John Wayne Airport.
You guys, from when we left the hotel, we split up. So Carl and Abraham went to John Wayne Airport, and I had to go to the Long Beach Airport because that's where my plane was leaving out of. So their Lyft came before mine did. So my Lyft driver came again after what, like five driver changes? What was it? It was crazy, right? Like we kept getting alerts that my driver was changed. So I was like, okay, well that's weird, but all right. Anyways, so as soon as me and my Lyft driver leave the hotel. He's got his GPS, like all, you know, drivers have their GPS by their, you know, whatever, like right there, they can see it. And then he looks at me and he goes, this is how you get on the five, right? And I'm like, what? Like, I look at him and I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, what? Like, I'm not from here. And then I tell him, well, we'll figure it out, right? And he chuckles. And in his defense, in the driver's defense, like I said, I think he just needed to know what lane to be in because the sign said like five or, you know, whatever. And I think that's what happened. But the fact that he asked me, like, this is how we get there, right? And I'm like in my head, I'm like, you're the driver, dude. Like, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at right now. But also in the middle of the drive, my driver, his son calls him. And his little kid, you know, like, you know, most kids are not in school. So he, you know, and he's speaking Spanish, I could assume was Spanish. He's just like, he answers the call. And I just, you know, again, I had one headphone in, like I wasn't completely ignoring the guy or anything like that. Not that we were talking, but I only had one headphone in just so I can be aware of like also my surroundings of what's going on. But I just hear this kid's voice like speaking Spanish and blah, 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 you know, going off. And then he hangs up and he looks back at me and he goes, I'm sorry, man, my son. I was like, nah, man, it's fine. Like, it's all good. But it was a funny, entertaining like ride. Like we had a couple chuckles, but he got me there. He definitely got me to the airport. We made it. Like he knew, like I said, I think he just needed to know what lane to be in to get on the freeway. Either way, I'm sure it would have rerouted him or, you know, whatever. I would have ended up in Mexico. I don't know, but I made it, but I did make it. So that was interesting. Actually, I didn't even tell you guys about my ride home. I don't have too many experiences. I don't have a whole lot of experience with Uber and Lyft. Okay. But anyone, if you've had the same experience, you know, let me know. But my driver to get home when I landed where I live and to drive home, he drove like a maniac. And on top of that, like some drivers will be like, hey, is there a certain type of music you want to listen to? Or, you know, the music will be low, or they'll ask you, like, do you want to listen to music? Like, you know, I get in the back seat. And this dude has like, AC/DC is blaring. And he doesn't even attempt to turn it down or even ask me. Again, I like AC/DC, so I was okay. I was cool. But my man didn't even ask. He was just like, no. Like, you know, thunder, thunder. And I was just like, okay, like, all right. And like I said, man, like I wasn't paying attention to, again, I knew he was driving fast because my body kept swaying. Like every time he hit a turn, like my man was like, this dude needs to get home now. Like, so that was a funny drive home too. But I was just tripping because his music was so loud and he didn't even be like, are you cool with the music? He just like, this is my music. This is my car. This is what we're going to listen to. And you best believe I five-starred him. I was like, five stars, my man. Like, all right. I even gave him like the 25% tip.
You should have yelled out drum solo.
Oh man. And I was bobbing my head. I had my headphones on, like, but I was still, again, they weren't, I mean, my headphones were in my ear, but I was still listening to his music. I mean, I wasn't even gonna fight it. Like, this dude's music was so loud. It good on that guy for, you know, like I said, that I just five-starred him. I was like, this dude's awesome. Like, it, I mean, he got me there safe. He got me there fast, but the fact that he, like, zero F's given with the music and all that. Like, he, you know, he didn't even bother to be like turning it down or, hey, are you cool with this? Like, he, like I said, man, his car, his rules. And again, I don't have too much experience with Lyft or Uber, so I mean, that's kind of how, I mean, again, like I said, yeah, your car, your rules, man. Like, you get me home however you want to get me home. Well, I mean, we'll listen to whatever you want to listen to. So that's the kind of passenger I am. So there you guys go. A little fun bonus stories with me and like Lyft and Uber. Yeah, dude, that AC, dude, that music was so loud. I was just like, okay. Like, when I got out of the car, I was like, you know, thank you, Ontario. Good night. Well, all right, guys. Thank you for being on the show. I'll have pictures posted on the Geek Valley Social Club Instagram page. And as always, thank you for listening.